Okay, we are recording. My name is Ashley Tabolo. I am here with Colette Hall. The date is July 8th, 2021. The time is 1:22 p.m. We are in Colette's house. Colette, I want to briefly review the informed consent and deed of gift agreement with you. The COVID-19 Oral History Project is a rapid response oral history focused on archiving the lived experience of the COVID-19 epidemic. We have designed this project so that professional researchers and the broader public can create and upload their oral histories to our open access and open source database. This study will help us collect narratives and understandings about COVID-19, as well as help us better understand the impacts of the pandemic over time. The recordings, demographic information, and the verbatim transcripts will be deposited in the Journal of the Plague Year, a COVID-19 archive in the Indiana University Library System for the use of researchers and the general public. Do you have any questions about the project that I can answer?
No.
Taking part in this study is voluntary. You may choose not to take part, or you may leave the study at any time. Leaving the study will not result in any penalty or loss of benefits to which you are entitled. Your decision whether or not to participate in the study will not affect your current or future relationship with Indiana University, IUPUI, or the IUPUI Arts and Humanities Institute. Participating in this project means that your interview will be recorded in digital video and or audio format and may be transcribed. The recordings and possible transcriptions of my interview, copies, or any supplementary documents or additional photos that you wish to share, and the informed consent and deed of gift may be deposited in the Journal of the Plague Year, a COVID-19 archive in the Indiana University Library System, and will be available to both researchers and the general public. Your name and other means of identification will not be confidential. Do you have any questions?
No.
Okay, do you verbally consent that you agree that your interview will be made available to the public immediately?
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you. Okay. So can you please state your name?
Colette Hall.
Okay, and what are like the primary things you do on a day-to-day basis? For example, your job, extracurricular activities, etc.
Right now, the only thing I do is go to work. I'm a special ed teacher in North Tonawanda. And for extracurriculars, I don't do anything. I don't, right now we're not having our daughter do activities, so we just kind of hang out around the house.
Are you not having her do activities because of the pandemic?
Yes. We're still not sure how comfortable we are with her interacting with children that we're not familiar with or their families.
And what are your concerns there?
My biggest concern, I guess, is that the parents of the children that she's playing with aren't vaccinated and or taking proper precautions when they're in the community, so she could potentially pick it up, mask or no mask, especially since they dropped the mask mandate for kids, which is nice when she's out on the playground and with familiar people, but still a little scary.
And where do you live that this is happening?
Right now, we live in Williamsville, New York.
That's outside of Buffalo, yes?
Yes. It's a cute little suburb.
So when you first learned about COVID-19, you know, back in probably March of last year, what were your thoughts about it? And have they changed since then?
Oh, for sure my thoughts have changed. In the beginning, I think I was just afraid of everything. We didn't know how it transmitted. We didn't know how fast or how serious it could be. Thankfully, they said right pretty quickly that children were less affected. I think that's my number one concern through this whole thing. I did tell a lot of people that if I didn't have kids, I probably wouldn't have been so scared. But I guess having that extra responsibility. It was pretty crazy. We didn't leave the house or go anywhere. We couldn't go to the playground. We really didn't leave our house or see friends or even our family. I didn't see my parents for 2 or 3 weeks. We were so nervous about it. And then we needed food, so we would order online, which was new, and then I would have to go pick it up, and I would wear gloves and a mask and bring Lysol and wipes, and then I asked the people to not even put it in my car. I left my car closed and had them put it on the ground, because I was afraid of them, like, coughing in my car. And I would wipe everything down. But eventually we got to see our friends and our family, and we just kept distance. And then now I know it's still a risk and I'm still very nervous about it, but I think going to work every day has kind of just been like, you have to keep going. Like, you can't live in a scary little bubble forever.
And speaking of work, you said you're a teacher, yes?
Yes.
What grade do you teach?
Right now I'm teaching fifth grade, and I'm a special ed teacher, but I am a consultant teacher, so I'm in a classroom with a gen ed teacher, also with gen ed students and special ed students mixed.
And how has COVID-19 affected your job?
It's been bonkers this year, to say the least. I think I'm pretty lucky that I am the special ed teacher in there, so I'm more of like the support for the students. I'm there to like modify and accommodate and help the gen ed teacher and all the students. So I was not directly responsible for creating curriculum and figuring out how to implement and transpire, how do you say, you know, get it to the kids at home. I'm not transporting it, but like to figure out how to get, so the kids that either chose to be full remote or it wasn't their day in school, we had to figure out how to get them their academic curriculum. But that wasn't really my general goal. That was pretty much on the gen ed teacher, so I was there to help them. But so that was nice that I didn't have to worry about that. But it's been a bonkers year. Like, kids didn't see each other's faces. I didn't know what kids looked like until like the second or third week of school, because everyone had their masks on. So it totally changed, like, teaching. I'm, like, a close teacher. I like to, like, come in and, like, be like, hey, what's up? Or, you know, high five or pat on the back. You couldn't do any of that. It was so weird.
And so you mentioned that there were some kids in remote and some kids in the classroom for certain days. Did you have a hybrid model, or what did that look like? What were the options available?
So yes, it was actually both. So some other teachers in other districts only had to do one or the other, but my district decided to do that one teacher was going to do both. So our specific class list could either come based on the alphabet Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, or like log in from home. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and the classroom teacher, my gen ed teacher, was responsible for all those students all the time. So, and there was not really an option for the remote kids to ever come back, and none of them ever did, even in June. But then, thankfully, the special ed kids got to come back 4 days a week, starting in October, and in May, the gen ed students got to come back 4 days a week too. So by the end of May, our entire class that could come in the building did get to come in the building and all be together.
And what kind of safety precautions did you guys have to take in the classroom to accommodate that?
All the desks had to be at least 6 feet apart. You had to wear a mask all the time. Every time the students left their space, the desks and chairs were cleaned. In the hallway, we had to stay separated. In the cafeteria, they had to stay separated and all face the same direction. That was really hard, too, to, like, not let them, like, have fun at lunch, like, the only time that they got. All materials were wiped down. Like, if a kid needed a pencil, first you had to, like, sanitize your hands, then get, like, a wipe off the pencil, give the kid their supplies, like, just everything was, and we stayed really far apart, even as teachers, like we didn't get like near the students very much.
So did you feel safe on a day-to-day basis?
I did, yes. There was hard sometimes in the beginning because some students either weren't familiar with wearing masks or they weren't, like, their parents weren't as strict as I think I was, so they would wear them under their nose, and I wanted to help them, but every time I went over, I'd be like, cover your nose, I can't help you unless your nose is covered. But then, thankfully, in January, I was able to get vaccinated, and that really made me feel a lot more comfortable going to work. But like I said, after being there for however many months, September, October, November, you're going every day. You just can't, you know. I was less afraid come like December than I was in September.
And you mentioned that some of the students came from families who had been possibly less strict about precautions and PPE and things like that. How do you feel in general that the community around you has responded to the COVID-19 pandemic?
So I would say my personal community, I want to say, because it's my community, they did a better job. Like in Williamsville, where I actually live, I think I do see a lot more families at the playground wearing masks when we still had to. I think that they really supported in the school. In the district that I teach in, I don't think it was taken quite as seriously. But, I mean, everyone has their way of doing things. So, but I do appreciate that my daughter's school was very safe, and I always felt comfortable sending her.
And have you or anybody you know gotten sick during the COVID-19 outbreak?
No, thank goodness. I don't know anybody personally.
Oh, that's good.
It is very good. Somehow we've made it this far. I think that also gives me hope for moving forward.
And during the pandemic, what have been sort of your primary sources for news?
It sounds really awful, but I would say my husband. I get all my information from him, but he, you know, CNN and that Dr. Fauci, he's been pretty strong in leading the way. I don't look to Facebook. I don't look at social media. I try and stay as, you know, science and research based as possible when making my decisions and deciding what I'm comfortable with and what I want to follow.
And do you have any thoughts about how local, state, or federal leaders are responding or have responded to the crisis differently?
For as much slack as Cuomo gets for everything else, I do appreciate that he locked us down when he did and he stayed strict and enforced a lot of things, because I think that's paying off now. I'm still, because it's just me and I'm just a normal person, I'm not really sure why they can't make it mandatory for everyone, so that I don't have to worry about my kid, right, you know, getting sick out and about in the community. But I guess I'm very thankful that we were so strict for so long so that we could start doing things and be a little less worried.
And has your experience transformed in any way how you think about your family, friends, and community?
I guess I'm just really grateful that I did have, like, a nice, close-knit group of friends to rely on. And, I mean, yeah, you value, like, what you have so much more, right? And I'm very thankful that I didn't lose anybody and that my family stayed safe. But I enjoyed, like, the quietness of like always just being like, no, we literally don't have anything to do. Like, what are you girls doing? Whose backyard are we hanging out in? And I appreciate roofs on patios and heated blankets more than ever.
I hear you there. Hey, the last question is, having lived through this pandemic and knowing what you know now,
what do you think could or should be done in the future if something like this were to happen again?
Again, I mean, I'm just like a civilian, so apparently this is why they didn't ask me in the beginning, but I feel like it should be taken seriously. I don't think that it should be something that they say will pass in a week or a month. I do think borders should be shut down sooner. Travel should be restricted, and to learn from this and just know, like, if we shut things down and we stay serious, we can overcome it and hopefully get through it a lot faster than we did this time.
Well, thank you so much, Colette, for your time and your contribution to the archive.
Thank you.